The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by DraftKings. Gil Alexander. Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin. We hope Kelly's okay. Kelly's in Austin, Texas, and then he's going to L.A.?
Yeah, I was talking to him last week. Yeah, he said he's going to Austin. I didn't know the second part. What's he doing in Austin?
It was just him and his buddies, like, hanging out and drinking and stuff. They just picked a random location.
Nice place to go to. Well, hopefully it's not too hot.
Tropical storm also, so there was that thing.
Oh, well, yeah.
Fezzik told me I was being too I was shaming Kelly too much for going, so I apologize to Kelly if I was. I was just worried about him. I didn't want him to get messed up in weather. By the way, should we be putting out Kelly's business everywhere he's going? Like, we've got a low jack on him.
Well, you know, maybe his millions and millions of fans want to know.
That's true.
Maybe there's a Kelly Bidlin fan club in Austin, Texas.
Might run into Kelly. He'll be back next week. Wyatt, kind enough to join us all week long. I say kind enough, but they sort of assigned it to him.
Yeah, I kind of got forced to. Yeah. Can you do this? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I could do it. So we get tweets, we get texts. We get a text. This is from Lou Finicaro, sweet Lou, who earlier I was saying the greatest protester knocked out by a fan was Mike Curtis of the old Baltimore Colts. And sweet Lou Finicaro, Gambaloo on Twitter, he texted me. He said, Gil, only Alta Cockers remember Mike Curtis decking that fan. Alta Cockers, an excellent use of Yiddish from Lou Finicaro, everybody. I didn't know he had it in him. This is also from, let's see here. This is from Brian Schaefer. Gil, do you have any NBA draft bets? I'll ride with you. Don't ride with me. Luke Swain coming on later this hour. Two segments with Luke Swain, Vegas refund on the NBA draft. We'll also talk to Matt Grissom on College World Series. The numbers guys, you saw Marty Fish go Richie Tenenbaum? Oh, hope you get the reference. Richie Tenenbaum's top 10 film of all time. The Royal Tenenbaums, rather, top 10 films of all time. The Truth, 1980, I am searching for the hit. On a fan by the Colts player that you referred to earlier, but James Harrison slamming a fan in Cleveland is tops in my book. And this is from Martin Bands. This is a great point about the Scheffler stuff. He said, Scheffler's success is tempered by the dilution of talent created by the LIV Tour. Interesting point. Tiger, Arnie, and other pre-LIV streak holders are much more impressive as they played with full fields of all the best players. Scheffler, you're good, but I've seen better. Well, we didn't call it the best. Called the third best, but that's an excellent point. Which brings us to most Major League Baseball wins in the month of June. As an astute tweeter pointed out earlier, there is only 1 week left in the month of June. Check your calendars. I did. It's true. 7 days left. This is where it gets great. Now, again, for those of you who have been with us and you missed the history, March, April, again, circa DraftKings, William Hill Caesars, they all put out a March, April. There was a few games in March. That's why it's March, April. Most wins. I bet the Cleveland Guardians at 65-1. We came one out away from cashing it. And then the souls were sucked out of our body by the peripatetic Victor Caratini of the Houston Astros, who had a two-run Jimmy Jam. And it was just devastating. The next month, I went with the Guardians again in the month of May, 16-1 for most wins in Major League Baseball. DraftKings didn't post it, but Circa and William Hill Caesars still did. They would have won it, but they went 2-5 against the White Sox and the Rockies. So in many respects, it was almost worse, but not in as dramatic a fashion. Honestly, could have won both. Then the month of June came along, and again, Kelly was like, Gil, I never told you to make a bet in your life, but please, for the content, could you do this? I was like, okay, Kelly, I'll research it. And I did. And I came up with the Houston Astros at 25-1. The Houston Astros at 25-1. Now, it should be stated that Circa has tiebreaking rules. First tiebreaker is fewest losses, if you end up with the most wins. The second tiebreaker is best run differential. At William Hill Caesars, it is a dead heat if most wins is tied. So I came on here on I want to say it was either May 31st or the morning of June 1st, I'm not sure which, and I went through my handicapping process on why I ended up with the Astros. And the first thing I put out was the total number of scheduled games for the entirety of the 30-day month of June. That's the first thing you ought to look at. And I pointed out that the Baltimore Orioles had the most scheduled games, 29 games scheduled in the month of June. The fewest, most are at 28, most really at 27 and 26, the fewest, the Houston Astros at 25, and the New York Mets, a full five games fewer scheduled than the 29 of the Baltimore Orioles. That's the first thing you ought to look at. But then I pointed out that that's just one tool in your handicapping, that yes, you ought to be aware of that, but if schedules dictate otherwise, that can be overridden, and that's what I chose to do with the Astros, who were playing four fewer games by schedule than the Baltimore Orioles. So the next thing I do is I come up with, I look at all their series, and I come up with what I believe the path will be. How do they get to a record? Can they get to a record that ought to win this? You may recall in May, I thought 21-7 would win it with the Guardians. They didn't get to 21-7, but 21-7 was exactly the record that won it. So in this month of June, then going through all the series that the Astros played, I would, you know, note 2-1, 3-0, 2-1, 1-1, whatever I thought they would do. And I thought they would get to, there's my projection on the left, there's what's actually happened on the right. So it was going okay till the Angels series. I thought they'd sweep them. They lost one. So actual is one game behind my projection there. Then with San Francisco, I thought they'd win 2-1, and they only won 1-3. So I'm two games behind my projection. That's getting dicey. And then if you fast forward to the White Sox, I thought I'd sweep. Remember, they could have swept. They only went 2-1. They lost a game where they only gave up two hits. And at that point, I'm three games behind. And I'm like, okay. Especially because they lost the first one. So after they lose the first one, I'm like, well, we're three games behind. We're going to have to make up. We can only make up a couple of these, but we gotta do this. Well, the Astros haven't lost since. Including, I only had them going 2-1 against Baltimore. They swept the Orioles this weekend. And they swept them with a 14-11, 4-1, and 8-1 three games. So what do you put that all as? That's 18-12, 26-13. Doubled them up in a three-game series. And honestly, it could have been worse because that 14-11 win, it was 14-3 at one point. So they just dominated the Orioles, who up to that point were just mowing through the month of June and really mowing through the season. So we've made one of those games back. So Houston still can get to one game lower than my projection, but projection schmejection. And by the way, here's why I decided, you know, the initial thing was, why did I get to that projection and actual? Here was the initial handicap looking at their schedule for the month of June. That's the next one, Wyatt, which is, I looked at the run differential heading into the month, not current, but heading into the month of June, all of their opponents that they were playing, and you know the Houston Astros, I think the consensus opinion on the Astros was they were super underachieving. Some people had already left them for dead. I had not, and I said, well, look at the schedule. This could really, you know, reroute the Astros ship, if you will, and it did. Because as you looked at June, or as I did when I was doing the analysis of this, I was like, this is clearly the easiest schedule. And I know they're playing four fewer games than the Orioles, but look at the run differentials. The only team that had a higher run differential than the plus five Twins of their opponent's schedule for the month of June was the Orioles. And I pointed out when we did this 23 days ago, I pointed out that the Orioles, by the time they played the Astros, might be gassed because they will have played 19 games in a 20-day stretch prior to playing the Houston Astros. Whether it was right that they were gassed or whether it was just that they ended up, and the way that it set up with the rotation was great because the Astros got Ronel Blanco on Saturday, and they also had Framber Valdez yesterday. So when they won that first game, it was like, oh, this could be a sweep. This is awesome. And that's what they did. By the way, short game is 27-13 on the runs, not 26-13. It could have been worse. So now left for the Houston Astros. That's all the good side, because in the standings, which we're about to show, the Houston Astros currently, if the month were to end today, which it doesn't, seven more days, Houston would have finished second. The Mets, with the fewest scheduled games in the month of June, are actually in first place at 13-6. The Astros, who have the second fewest games scheduled in the month of June, are actually in second place when you do tiebreakers, 13-7, with a plus 30 run differential. But here's the rub. The Astros only have five games left. This gets back to the initial thing about how many games are scheduled. Some teams have six left. Some teams have seven left. So the Astros, even though they play the Mets at Citi Field the last three games of those five, two at home against Colorado here tomorrow night and Wednesday night, but the Astros are forced to sit, and those of us who have them are forced to sit and watch other teams today and other teams on Thursday that they're competing with. So they don't control their own destiny. And although we do have the Mets and we're in second place, which just at a glance at the standings, you'd say, oh, then you control your own destiny. Because of the fact that the Astros have one or two fewer games scheduled, there's still five, six teams that still control their destiny that the Astros have to worry about and that we have to worry about with our 25-1 play. By the way, I have double the bet at the 25-1 at Caesars, which is the dead heat, and I have one unit, half the size here at, so double the bet, and then the full unit here at Circa at 17-1 with the tie-breaking rules, and then double the bet at the 25-1 with the dead heat rules at Caesars because they had the better number. I would have rather had the tiebreaker rules to begin with, but that's how it shook out. So this is a big decision for me, and here we are 3 months in a row knocking at the door of most wins. Maybe, just maybe, the third time is the charm on this.
Well, you know why the Mets have been so good this month, right? Power of grimace.
Power of grimace.
Yeah. Throughout the first pitch, and all of a sudden the Mets have been phenomenal. A quick question. How much does weather impact your handicap?
March, April, it was a huge consideration. People who were listening to the show then will remember that. It was part of the Cleveland handicap in March, April was how far, like what team doesn't have to play in inclement weather. In the case of Cleveland, it's their own home in Cleveland, Ohio, which in late March, early April, it tends to have inclement weather. The Guardians didn't play a home game till April 8th. And so that was part of that calculus. May and June, honestly, not so much. Not so much at all. But here we are, Astros. Game against the Rockies Tuesday and Wednesday. Two home games. Got to win those. You're expected to win both of those. Just keep winning and let the other teams fall by the wayside. 3 months in a row, knocking at the door. Let's get it done this time. We'll come back. College World Series, simultaneous with Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. It's the decider between Tennessee and Texas A&M. Matt Grissom on the other side. Next. With our NFL betting guide dropping this Thursday, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, you'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, though. For a limited time, get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price. Normally, $240 a year. You can subscribe now for just $199 with promo code ANG. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free.
Free?
ANG.
ANG. You know what that is? A for a numbers game. N for nothing as good as a numbers game. NG, golly gee, a numbers game is great.
The hell just happened?
I don't know.
That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this incredible offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Use promo code ANG to get 13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199 and reserve your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. By the way, Wyatt, that was my fault because I didn't wait till the last ANG. I faked you out and I did the second to last.
Yeah, I was right. I was That's like, oh, me. Darn it.
So I got,
I practiced that one in the mirror for like a couple minutes today.
You know what else I'll take responsibility for? Because I'm a complete idiot.
What is that?
We were waiting to see if anybody noticed that I made that mistake where I went Connor McGregor instead of Connor McDavid, which, by the way, is an easy mistake to make. I can't be the first to make that mistake. Brandon Webb pointed out, he goes, anyone else catch Gil refer to McDavid as McGregor in that J-Con segment? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Because if Conor McGregor won the Conn Smythe, now that would really be something. This is from 3JackH3131. Can't believe the Orioles went and got swept by the Astros this weekend. Yes, I know you're on Houston, but I'm on Baltimore at 25-1. I swear I won't be a sour rooter, though. Excellent knowledge of Crack's term there, sour rooter. I'm going to say it again. It is a sneaky, awesome day in sports. It is an awesome week because, again, NBA draft on Wednesday. Luke Swain will be here momentarily to talk about that, his process, his bets. We got international soccer. We got Euro Cup 2024. We got Copa America. Paul Carr will be here not only tomorrow but also Thursday as well when the Euros knockout stage is set Thursday and Friday. That'll be set. And then we have everything tonight. And tonight's the headline. We have the Stanley Cup Final, Game 7. And it sucks that these are both on at the same time, But oh well, that's how the cookie crumbles. It is the Game 3 decider in the College World Series final between Tennessee and Texas A&M. These were the two short shots headed into the whole tournament. And in the case of Tennessee, they are trying to be the first team in a quarter of a century since the 1999 Miami Hurricanes to be the first, to be the, you know, the last, they were the last number one overall seed, Miami was, to win it all. And Tennessee is trying to be the first team to do so since then. There have only been two teams, two number ones, since Miami did it in 1999 that have even gotten to the finals. And that was two Texas teams along the way. So this is, I know the hockey stuff was much more historical, but in terms of the College World Series, I mean, those are pretty, pretty heady stats as well. And to help us along as he has all through this amazing tournament in Omaha, it's collegebaseballinsiders.com. The guru of that website, Matt Grissom. You can find him on Twitter at Grissom on X, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Here we are, Matty.
I know, it's Christmas morning. I can't believe it. You know, February was the opening day. Now we're down to two teams in the last game of the season. It's bittersweet, but I think we're going to have a really, really tight game.
You do. Okay. Because I would just want to point out that the, you know, on the money line, Tennessee, a huge favorite, minus 230. The Aggies plus 175 on the comeback. Total is at 10. Before we get to your thoughts on why you think it's close and how you would end up betting this in the end, what about what I just talked about? What do you make of this? So Hurricanes win in 2009. Only the Longhorns of 2004 and 2009, we're talking number one seeds here, have gotten to the finals. Tennessee trying to, again, be the first in 25 years. What of that? Is it just the parity of it all?
I think it is. I mean, once you get to Omaha, you're playing against the eight best teams in the country. And I think if there was anything, and I think I wrote it up in the VSiN article before the Field of 64, if there was any team that I felt that could get over the hump as far as being the number one overall seed, it was Tony Vitello. I mean, we've seen him be a number two seed going through the Clemson Regional last year and then going to Hattiesburg, beating Southern Miss, making it to Omaha. And then the year before that, they were the number one overall seed, and they got upset by Notre Dame. And I just feel like they're on a right of getting work done. Sorry, my dog started barking. I thought he was outside, but yeah, this Tennessee team, they're primed to be the first team since the Miami Hurricanes in '99 to do it, and. I think with what we saw yesterday, they've got the pitching staff. I think they've got the advantage right now over A&M as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's also the bracket, right? It's the fact that you can't lose at any stage of this, regionals, super regionals, finals, regionals, super regionals, and then the way that it starts. You can't lose two at a time, right? So that's the problem, and that could happen in any level of baseball, right? So it's definitely a minefield. Why do you think then, I mean, the line is minus 230. You said to begin this, you're like, this is going to be a close ball game. What makes you think that?
Because you still have two heavyweight teams in the SEC, and I don't see either one of them going down lightly. Yeah, Tennessee got blown out in that third inning, but I think that was more of an attribution to A.J. Causey hasn't been good lately, and Chris Stamos, their kind of opener starter, he's not really an ace. So when he gives up a home run to the leadoff batter, and then Causey comes in, gives up a five spot, I believe, in the third, you're behind the eight ball. But they responded well yesterday. Texas A&M has one really good starter, and that was Ryan Prager. He got the win. That's what he was supposed to do. But yeah. I don't think they shouldn't have been plus 175 or whatever they were in game one. It made a little bit more sense yesterday, Tennessee being a heavy favorite. Drew Beam, he's probably one of the best second day starters in college baseball. And there so happened to be a little bit of golf on. I don't know if you've heard of this guy, Scottie Scheffler. Mm. He was like plus 220 before they teed off Sunday to win.
So let me look him up. Yeah.
Plus 210 was a little stiff to lay on Tennessee, so I just parlayed Scheffler to win, which I've been told is automatic, and Tennessee. So I kind of tongue-in-cheek tweeted out yesterday, two Sunday truths, Scottie Scheffler and the Tennessee Volunteers. So I thought this would get to a game three. I gave out over 2.5 games in the series. But now you've got a kind of a rare occurrence where the game three starters for both of these teams may be the best pitchers that are performing right now. Justin Lampkin's going to go for Texas A&M. He has a 5.93 ERA over his last five, but a 1.28 Sierra. And then you've got Xander Seacrest, who's got a 1.23 ERA and a 3.80 Sierra. So he may be due for a little bit of regression here. You look at bullpen availability. Texas A&M still got Josh Stewart with 56 pitches. Evan Aschenbach, their closer, at 46 pitches. You've got Kirby Connell, Connell. I'm not sure when we started pronouncing Connell as Connell, but that's what the broadcasters are saying. He's at 17 pitches over the weekend, and then Nate Sneed's at 15. They've got their guys out of the bullpen that they want in this game three. Xander Seacrest, Justin Lampkin, I don't know who's pitching better right now. Probably Lampkin, but I think A&M plus 175 or whatever they are right now, I think that's just too high. Maybe take the run line. I'm sitting on a lot of futures tickets on Tennessee. I totaled it up. I'm up 50, almost 52 units. If Tennessee wins, 23 units. If Texas A&M wins, I should probably sit back and just wait it out, but as of right now, I think there's a lot of value on Texas A&M as a big plus money dog.
Yeah, I have to admit to you, man, as we're talking about this, because you were talking about how they, you know, the A&M's ace won game two, or excuse me, won game one, and I'm just like, yeah, and that's FSU had Jamie Arnold set up, man. They had him set up to go, and that check swing will live forever in my head. It's just, it's brutal that FSU got knocked out the way that they did. Oh, well. That's how it goes sometimes.
Like we talked about, it's that parity in college baseball. You never know. They won't give you the box for the strike zone. They won't ever have a robot ump. They can't call balls and strikes. I don't know if you watched the game yesterday, but it looked like everything below the knees was getting called a strike.
That's right. And I expect them to call a check swing correctly. That's crazy. It's lunacy.
Yeah. I don't even know if these guys are getting paid out there. It's just it's 100 degrees in Omaha, and they're getting handed Uncrustables and bananas, and it's, you know, do your best to call a good game. But hopefully we get some good, at least behind the plate, umpires in this championship game.
Matt, before you go, I just need a one school answer. Give me a team way too early thought about next year that might be live, given who's coming back.
Oh, my gosh. The Florida Gators.
Okay. There it is. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it for all you do. CollegeBaseballInsiders.com. Matt Grissom. Grissom on X. NBA Draft next with Luke Swain. Vegas Refund. Numbers Game. Hey, Wyatt, you check out our new website, VSiN.com? Can we call it new still? No?
Feels new every time I go on.
Oh, well said. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there at VSiN.com. And again, a quick glance at the homepage. A lot of NBA draft mock from JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, Zach Cohen on the draft as well, Steve Mackinnon. NFL stats to help predict team improvement and decline. How about that? That's interesting. Michael Lombardi, can the Kansas City Chiefs three-peat? All of that and more at vsin.com. Check it out. Speaking of the NBA draft, yesterday, special numbers game weekend investigation revealed that the NBA draft is on Wednesday, not on Thursday. So I said to myself, self, who do I want to talk to about this? And only one name came to mind. Not only one, but the first and foremost, most prominent name was Luke Swain, Vegas Refund, who has been kind enough to join us for NFL drafts in the past. He joins us now to talk NBA draft, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Luke, what's happening?
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, man. First of all, let's just start here. Your excitement level as a handicapper going into an NBA draft where the betting possibilities are fewer, but nonetheless, wins are wins, value is value, versus the NFL draft. Are you more pumped for this kind of thing or less?
Well, actually, surprisingly, the NBA market so far, specifically on like DraftKings, there are more NBA draft markets or close to than what we had for the NFL. Like right now you have exact pick all the way up to pick 25, which is wild. Like they had nothing close to this last year. And then you have top 10, top five to go in the first round, a ton of over unders, which I'm like thankful and impressed with DraftKings to be pushing out a menu. It all came later than usual, where NFL were getting like a month ahead of time, where we got the majority of this within the like last week. But right now, the NBA market has been surprisingly impressive.
I will say that is very impressive. Up to the number 25 pick here in Nevada, where, again, I always say once sports betting becomes legalized, boy, is this going to be a tremendous place to live. But I will shout out MGM. MGM has a pretty vast breadth of draft bets available for the NBA draft. They don't quite go up to 25, though. They go up to 10. So going up to 25 is really awesome on DraftKings' part. The difference, the primary difference beyond the bets that are available in terms of assessing an NBA draft versus assessing an NFL draft is?
So it's just much, it's simpler. Where with the NFL, it's much more mainstream. There's a lot more smoke, I guess you could say. And then really the positional value that goes into the NFL draft doesn't exist so much with the NBA, where the NBA is positionless, which just this past NFL draft, you have to deal with like the quarterbacks being overvalued, where like guys like Bo Nix are going in the first round that probably shouldn't have. Where with the NBA, it's a lot more best player available. And there's just a lot less mock drafts or experts out there. And if you like with the NFL, I had like 30 mock drafts I'm looking at. Where with the NBA, it's like 4 to 10 in terms of guys that you trust. But the biggest difference really is just the positional value that the NFL has that the NBA doesn't.
Is there any player in this draft that you feel is like a team is assessing by their position specifically?
I would say in terms of like the top 10s, Stephen Castle is probably like the one guy where his positional value comes into play, which he's really the only true point guard that is expected to go in the top 10. I mean, he hasn't even been taking workouts with teams that aren't drafting him unless they consider him a point guard. So Stephen Castle would probably be the main guy in terms of like the positional value coming into play with his over-under, and he's expected to go in the top 5. So
you mentioned that you you aggregate mock drafts, and you said the NBA's you trust a smaller group. There's probably fewer mock drafts out there to begin with, but you trust a smaller group. Would you be willing to share some of the names of the mock drafters that you trust?
Of course. I mean, there's really like a core four that you want to really take notice to. It's Sam Vecenie out of The Athletic, Kevin O'Connor out of The Ringer, Jonathan Givony out of ESPN, and then Jonathan Wasserman, who's Bleacher Report, which those are like the core four for me. And probably Vecenie would be like the king mock drafter out of those four. But the context within specifically Wasserman and Vecenie's mock drafts, and actually Givony so far, which he actually kind of teams up with Jeremy Wu, who was with Bleacher Report before, but he went to ESPN. Wu would have been, it used to be a core five, but now it's really just a core four. But the context between that Vecenie puts in his mock drafts, giving ranges, like a lot of little nuggets that are actually like actionable, is the best part of Vecenie. But he'd probably be my number one.
Okay, that's good. So, I mean, it's a more refined, even sort of Googling contest, as I like to say with this, and following folks on Twitter. All right, so let's get to the top of the draft. How do, at this moment, and this is the interesting thing, so we're Monday morning, the first round begins on Wednesday evening. Are you still anticipating, like, I know with the NFL, we're like, oh, when is, what's my man's name? When is Daniel Jeremiah's last mock coming? I can't wait for his last mock. Is it still the same thing in the NBA? Like, are you still anticipating the last?
So this is probably considered like the worst NBA draft since like for a while. But at the same time, there's markets to bet into, so it doesn't matter which. It was tough to get interested in, but Sar was like the consensus number one for a while, which he'd probably go like maybe 10 or later and then like last year's draft, let's say. But Sar is considered to go 2. And right now the debate at number one is between Zachary, man, some of these names are so tough in this draft.
Risacher, yes.
Risacher, thank you. or Klingon out of UConn, which Kristen Peek made out of Yahoo, made a interesting comment in her podcast a couple of days ago that she expects this to be possibly a 2022 NBA draft where that was like the infamous year of Paolo going number one, where Woj was saying it was Jalen Green the night before. And then the day of, everything just flipped on its face. And she kind of made the point that everyone is kind of expecting Zachary, I'm not even going to try his last name again, and it could possibly flip onto Klingon the day of. But then Gavoni on a Windhorse podcast this morning kind of made the point that he's expecting it to be Zachary. So really no one knows. And I honestly don't think the Hawks know either. There's a ton of trade rumors to get up or Klingon. But I think if right now, like gun to head, if the Hawks pick at one, it will probably be ZR.
Zachary to ZR. Pretty soon you're going to be like Z. Zachary Risacher at number one, if you had to say right now. If that's the case, where do you see, like, how deep into this do you have a sense, like a real sense that you're confident about players going, and where does that confidence drop off for you?
Yeah, so I would say there's somewhat of a consensus top six. Like, we know which six are going to probably go. The order might vary a little bit, but it's probably going to be the same top six. And then, like, from there, it gets a little bit murky, but probably all the way, which would be ZR, Alex R, Reed Shepard, Stephen Castle, Donovan Klingon. I think that's six.
That was five. So, okay. And is this
And then Matsas Buzelis. Those would be the six, I would say. And then you got Cody Williams, Dalton Knecht, and then somewhat Devin Carter. So that would be like a top nine. I would expect in any order to go in the first nine, which is the beauty of the NBA draft, that like, trades can still happen, but I think those nine are still going to go with the nine first picks.
You're saying that those are the nine in whatever order. Did you also, if I'm reading between the lines, did you also list them in the order that you most think they would go in as well? Can I offer that? Because you said...
I just read up my list.
Risacher first. Sar, you said second. Reed Shepard third. I'm just reading. Stephon Castle fourth. Who was fifth? Buzelis?
And then Matsas Buzelis, most likely, yeah.
So Klingon not in the top five in that case.
So, yeah, so Klingon's either going to go 1, 3, or 7 if there's no trade.
1, 3, or 7. Expected order. And as those, so the ones that I just listed in the order, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but in that particular order, if it goes Risacher, Sar, Shepard, Castle, I'm looking at the markets that you were talking about. That player with that exact pick, and that assumes that there are no trades, right? We don't want to get into the trade business.
Right.
Castle seems to have the best number at number four. That's like a plus 180. I'm staring at MGM. I'm not sure what DraftKings has, but that would be an interesting bet still, I would imagine then.
Yeah, and that's come down a bunch where, Castle's either going to go 4 or 6. You could probably bet exact pick for both of those, him to go 4 and for him to go 6.
Ooh, okay.
And I would assume be a plus EV bet.
I might have an NBA draft bet in my future, it turns out. Luke was kind enough to stay with us for a couple seconds. We'll come back. Who he thinks the big movers are, either forward or backward. And the conundrum of Bronny James. It's on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. With NFL training camp starting in less than a month, the VSiN experts have been hard at work to get you ready for the upcoming NFL season. Our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide drops this Thursday. It's packed with everything you need to dominate this NFL season. We got in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends that you won't find anywhere else. But that is not all. Our experts have weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Whether you're a season better or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. And to celebrate the release of the guide, VSiN's going all out with special coverage throughout the day. Tune in this Thursday for expert analysis, insider tips, and all the NFL insight you need to start the season strong. Remember, the only way to get our all-new NFL betting guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, so visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up today. It's Gil Alexander. It's Wyatt Tomchek, live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Just reading that NFL promo guide promo, or NFL betting guide promo, pardon me. the NFL betting guy promo, which again, Matt Eumanns, Adam Burke, and everybody who worked on it, they do such a great job with all of our betting guides. But just, you know, just feeling the NFL approaching, as great as a day like this is with Stanley Cup Finals Game 7 and the College World Series deciding Game 3 and the draft, the NBA draft on Wednesday, all kinds of soccer, it's still the NFL. It still just destroys like everything else in the book in terms of just we're a hamster on a wheel. But the betting opportunities like these that we're talking about with Luke Swain remain. Vegas Refund on Twitter. Just a tremendous historical record betting both the NFL and NBA drafts. He joins us once again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Luke, let's go through that once again. The players that you believe, and I won't hold you to the order, but if you could list them in the order that you had them, one through, I think you went up to nine. What did you have there?
Yeah, so it's ZR1, SAR2, which that's a pretty strong consensus. Reed Shepard 3, which is another really strong consensus. And then you get Stephen Castle at 4 to the Spurs, Matas Buzelis at 5 to the Pistons. And then 6, that is when it gets a little bit dicey, but 6 would probably be, 6 is up in the air. And then it would be Klingon at 7. You can assume if he falls, I guess. And then from there, it would be like Dalton Connect, Cody Williams, Devin Carter are like the three guys that can go really anywhere that have been like big risers from the start of this draft season, I guess you could say. But that would be like the consensus top 8 or 9 guys that are just going to go.
Okay.
Depending on the order.
Klingon 1, 3, or 7 is the interesting thing. Okay, the big risers you said, and give me the big fallers, if you will. Say the big risers again, yeah. Williams.
So Cody Williams, huge riser. He was like projected to go in like the 10 to 13 range at the start, and now he's can go anywhere as high as like 5 to 8 and maybe 9. And then Devin Carter, who's out of Providence, he was projected to go like, I want to say like in the 15 range at the start, and now he's looking to go as high as maybe number 8. And then those would probably be like the two biggest risers in the whole process. And then the biggest fallers would probably be guys like Nikola Topic, who just had some like really bad luck. Tore his ACL. Just awful luck. And he was projected top 5, and now he might go in the range of like 10 to 15. Rob Dillingham, he was top 10. He's probably not going to go in the top 10 anymore. And then Ron Holland out of the G League, he was top 10. He's probably not going to go. He might go like 9 at the earliest. But Zach Edey is also a huge riser as well, where you're seeing rumors for him to go as high as 9 to the Grizzlies, which the Grizzlies are a team that really fall in love with players. But Edey was like mid-20s, and now his over-under is now like 15.5, 16.5. And he might even sneak his way into the top 10.
Wow. So you'd go under on that. Under 15.5, a strong under?
It's a really good number. The teams that you're seeing that are interested in him are basically like the Heat and the Lakers. The Heat mainly, but there's a bunch of teams that need a center in that range. But like 15.5, 16.5 is a great number, but I would probably only go under. I wouldn't bet the over there too much.
Give me a couple bets that you, for those, because I know you get these, you know, at the best numbers, you're really on top of it. But for those who are landing on this right now, give us a couple great bets that are still out there.
So one long shot I do like, I think De'Aaron Holmes to go top 20, which I believe is plus 500 on FanDuel currently, which he's a guy, if you listen to like those Core 4 podcasts, he's someone that just keeps coming up. And Jonathan Wasserman even made a comment in like a smaller podcast a couple of days ago saying like De'Aaron Holmes is that guy that he's not projected in mocks that you read to go in the top 20, but with this draft being so up in the air, like he's the guy that he wouldn't be shocked if he went to a team. And he said specifically 12 to the Thunder or 17 to the Lakers, which De'Aaron Holmes is definitely locked into the first round. He's been a riser, but with this class, like that's one guy I can see based off everything I read and just his trajectory over this process going in the top 20. And at 5 to 1, it probably should be higher, but these are draft odds. These aren't real odds. So 5 to 1 is actually a pretty good value. And then the other one I would say is Tyler Smith over right now, I think it's 26.5 It opened at 24.5. He is trending in the wrong direction in every way. Like I right now, I would probably give it a 50-50 shot for him to even go in the first round. He's out of the G League, and 24.5 was an automatic over. I still like the over at 26.5. He is one of the biggest fallers in this whole process. So 26.5, I would still take that over.
26.5 on
Tyler Smith.
Tyler Smith. Okay. Just to clarify, Topic, you mentioned this and a lot of people probably missed this. Nikola Topic, who again is going to sound a whole bunch like Nikola Jokic, obviously, but Nikola Topic blew out his knee. Just a horrible thing for a kid about to be drafted. Has his over under moved enough now where it's unbettable, or is it still bettable to you?
So it opened at 6.5, which was one of the worst lines in terms of openers I've ever seen. And it's at 10.5 right now, and I would still bet the over. I think that is bettable. I think really it would be like if he 10 is really his only out to me. And I think it's more unlikely than likely for him to go 10. And I would only bet his over at this time, unless like some type of intel or something comes out. Like I think he's an over no matter what the number is. And I think a 10.5 is still too low.
All right. Still bettable despite the move from 6.5 to 10.5. Poor dude blew out his knee. And then what's the story with Carrington? Is there a specific place for him, Carlton Carrington?
Yeah, he's another huge riser. If you like those core four, they all like put out like their new mock drafts last week. And he is definitely the biggest riser as well. In those 20s, he could go as high as 12 to the Thunder. I don't see him getting past 20, which FanDuel does have top 20 odds for him, which I believe it's like minus 200 right now, which in my opinion is too light. His over-under opened at 20.5, and it's all the way down to 18.5 right now. But he is someone that I bet exact pick to go to the Thunder a few days ago, and it's definitely come down. But he is one that I don't see him getting out of the top 20, and 20 really being his basically his floor.
Okay. So you did bet an exact to the Thunder, but you wouldn't bet it at the current price?
I would still bet under 18.5. I think he can go as high as 12, maybe even a little bit higher.
Okay.
But he is one of the biggest risers that, like, I would never bet an over on a guy like this because it seems like his stock is just exploding right now.
And the last thing, Luke, so kind of you to hang out for 2 seconds. You know where I'm going. Bronny James, what is your thought at this moment?
So Bronny James, I compare it to like betting like the over-under on quarterbacks every single year. And in principle, you just want to bet the under 4.5 quarterbacks because there's always so much hype in media surrounding him. And Bronny James is somewhat similar where like in principle, you just want to bet the over. But there's so much smoke around like his father, of course, that you just can't bet the over because guys like Bo Nix and whoever Penix go in the first round and it's the one time. But I would never bet the over under on Bronny. I think it's like it was 39, it's up to 41.5. But like he shouldn't go in the first. He shouldn't go earlier than whatever his over under is. But you just have no idea what's going on behind the scenes in a draft where promises are made and it is somewhat of a politics move right now with him that I have no interest in coming anywhere close to his over-under right now.
I love that. So the thing that is perhaps most talked about, maybe even more than who's going first, to be quite honest with you, is the one thing you want no part of whatsoever, which makes a lot of sense. Because of everything you've said, I do think, you know, God knows what's going on behind the scenes there. Who knows what deals have been made. Luke, appreciate it. Good luck as always with all your drafts, including this NBA draft on Wednesday night. Vegas Refund. Is that where they find all your stuff, at Vegas Refund?
Yep, there it is.
Okay. He's got a whole bunch of stuff, spreadsheets, if you really want to dive deeper and make money on this NBA draft. Luke Swain at Vegas Refund. Thank you, Luke. We've done all we can do. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.